is.
That's mostly is in that, tune.
Yeah, close enough.
Yes,
is that what?
That's not going through any board, is it?
No.
It's just ambient through the mic?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty good.
Oh, hey, thanks. I've gotten a number of compliments. I mean, at the sound, people were,
I was thinking about
people
that.
People who had guitars were saying,
right.
Your guitar sounds really,
I
really
thought
good.
About
By the
that,
way, I don't even know if these things are on. It just sounds like it's muffling
oh.
away.
Oh, is it this one here?
Oh,
is that better?
There we go. Yeah.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
No, yeah, I listened to the last podcast, and I was like, his guitar sounds like good for not being mic'd up, and you know the mic being 2.5 feet away. It sounds pretty solid. It sounds
yeah.
good.
Hey, thanks.
No problem.
When the people that you know don't like you,
that golden tone.
And your treasured friendships end,
so bright.
Tune into this podcast, we're your artificial friends.
Did you get a little nervous there? You looked like one of those chords.
Like I didn't know what was coming next.
One of those little chords, you looked like you were like, oh, I think this is it, and you nailed it.
I just stuck it.
I just like when I come back because the song sounds good again.
That's right. You know? That's right. We know what was missing
right.
all that time.
Finally.
Sam Farmer is with us in the flesh.
Great to be back.
And Josh Fligger
How you doing?
Is here as well. My name is Andy Chanley of the Indiana Chanleys. So I'm surprised you're actually here for a weekend.
During football season.
Yeah. During football season.
Yeah.
You're here.
I'll be at Rams tomorrow.
Rams game tomorrow.
Rams Cardinals game. And I had a real busy first week, and was in 1, 2, 3 cities.
Wow!
In 4 days or something like that, and so it's good. It was good. So I'm just finishing up a couple stories, and I'll do those this afternoon, and then go to the game tomorrow.
Nice.
So yeah.
Nice. And the weather's just a little bit nicer now. It's a little,
I know.
Little
cool. Oh, so much nicer.
Of course, in that press box, it's really
the East
nice.
Coast.
The weather's always nice up there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always sunny in the press box. So, any big thoughts about the weekend? We won't make this whole thing about football, but
about last weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was great. I'll give you just a little chronology. Was there in Philadelphia for the Thursday night opener against the Falcons. That was cool. That was really fun, and I always liked that game, the kickoff opener. And then I went down to Carolina, and I met up with, as you know, Tom Kendall. We talked on the phone, and then did the thing with Troy Aikman, which was really kind of a neat and unique experience. I didn't really even watch the game. I just sat and watched Troy and Joe Buck. I sat with them in the box and tried to stay out of the way of the camera. But it was really
any
cool.
Calls?
Oh, whoop, hey.
Whoop, zip.
Hold, please. Up. No, I think it's a connection in here that I need
port,
to clean,
whatever.
And I just haven't done it yet.
Is that the one where you dump wine on?
Shut up.
this thing does have like 10 channels on it. Can we have you put me in a different channel?
It has 14. But
I'll say this. The Saturday night before the game, I had a lot of fun. I went out to dinner with a friend of mine who is Roger Goodell's personal bodyguard. And he was.
But that guy's busy.
Yeah.
Was he armored?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, he was on the president's.
Does he just have eyes on the back of his head? Was he just all twitchy the whole time, just looking around?
This guy was on the president's Secret Service detail for George W. Bush, for Bill Clinton, and for a little bit for Obama, but mostly for George W. Bush when he was former president. And so he was there through the whole Monica thing. He was there through the Gulf War, through 9/11. So he had some incredible stories. And he came on. I'll tell you one story he told me. He came on when early 80s, and one of his first assignments as a young agent working for the Treasury Department, when you're not you know, investigating white collar crime, because the Secret Service used to be
right
under the Treasury Department.
Yeah, because they were there, they were created by Lincoln to stop counterfeit.
Yeah,
money.
There's a counterfeiting issue. It's a Secret Service thing. Yeah.
So he was assigned to monitor John Hinckley, who was at a hospital that had no fences or walls.
Oh.
A mental hospital.
The guy who tried to shoot, shot
President Reagan.
Reagan, yeah. And Brady.
Yeah, and so he said, he was told, okay, at 12 noon, John Hinckley's going to come out of this door, and he's going to go out into the park and have lunch with his one-armed girlfriend.
Jodie Foster only has one arm?
Yeah. Exactly. And that's not a euphemism. Having lunch with your one-armed girlfriend is not a euphemism.
I just got it.
But anyway, so
I'm totally going to say that at some point in my life now.
He was in his car, and sure enough, at noon, the door swings open, and here comes John Hinckley out. He said he just looked over. He said, there's John Hinckley with the dead eyes and everything. And he said, I kind of slumped down a little bit in my car, and I hit the siren. And he said, he quickly swung around and just stared at me. And he said, I'll never forget that stare, just that empty, dead-eyed stare that John Hinckley,
wow,
the would-be assassin of
That's crazy.
President Reagan.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't John Hinckley released?
Yes.
Well, why is he in a hospital? Or, I mean, why is he in a unwalled hospital? Why is he need minimum security hospital?
That's a good question.
That was one of the big questions. Yeah. Why is he not, you know, shackled somewhere?
But right.
Anyway, so he told some other stories, and he was just a fascinating guy. So that was Saturday night. Then Sunday, the game got – oh, forgetting the biggest part. I stayed with Mark and Linda.
Oh, yeah.
Right. In the Andy Chanley suite. Yeah.
In the Andy Chanley suite. I'll keep telling them that, even though it's got a brass plaque over it that says the Sam Farmer suite.
They're getting it now with Hurricane
Florence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I traded texts with Mark last night, and he said they're all right so far, but you know, they're pretty far up. You know,
right.
Up
yeah. And they're the pretty lake. Inland. Yeah. Too. Yeah. And they're inland somewhat. Yeah. So.
And they live in a castle.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, they do.
It's fortified.
They do. And then got up on Monday morning and flew to Oakland for the Rams game, which was really exciting. I mean, this is an exciting team, this Rams team.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good game. That was an enjoyable game to watch.
It was. It's fun to watch that Rams defense. And, you know, Oakland's a weird place. It's always a weird place, and it's sort of post-apocalyptic as you walk out in the parking lot, and there's that haze.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the people.
Yeah, well.
Because it is.
There's bonfires.
It's fucking Thunderdome out there.
There's a bit of the Star Wars bar scene going when you walk out of the parking lot. But yeah, Thunderdome, exactly. So I did that, and then I came home, and I can't remember what I did the rest of the week. Just wrote, and, but yeah, so fun. Fun time.
Well, bringing up what you were talking about a minute ago with Tom Kendall, I thought that we should go through some viewer mail, but then it shouldn't be viewer mail. That doesn't make sense.
No.
It's listener mail, and that doesn't sound nearly as good. And it's not really a mail bag because it's not mail. It's messages on the we'll call it face bag. So,
you two are
player,
on fire today. I'm just going to sit over here and shut up.
let me just pause this to say that there was an NFL player, I think I've told you this before, who told me, summed something up, and he said, that's pretty much it in a nutsack. So, didn't even pause.
Yeah. This is from our old buddy Dave Headwall, who says, hey guys, love this episode, but especially love the portion with Sam Farmer.
Of course, naturally. Why even write it?
doesn't make any sense to me. Reason being, he goes on.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
No, it's not for you. He's a huge Tommy Kendall fan. Yes. I didn't know these two knew each other. Very cool. And the best part of the Sam segment, he predicted the Minnesota Vikings will win the Super Bowl. I mean, the big game this year. I have been a Vikings fan since 1968, so I have had my Purple Heart broken four times. I sure hope Sam's prediction holds true. Skol Vikings, from David. Wanted to share that with
picking them over the Steelers, too.
Yes.
Which, by the way, my football season hasn't even started yet. Last week didn't count. It just hasn't started. Steelers are
definitely a false start.
Literally, a gigantic waste of everybody's time.
You certainly haven't made any progress.
We're still undefeated.
Your Pittsburgh Steelers.
It's the best Browns start since like 1994. 2004, I think.
And they still haven't won.
They're still winless.
Did they lose every game last year?
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
It's their best start since what year? It's the best start since 2004, and they still haven't won a game since 2016.
That's right. Yeah, and I think they've only won four games since 2015.
They're four and forty-nine. Yeah, they've got a.
You know what?
Something like a 0.078 winning percentage.
Well, and they're going
like my grade point average.
They're going into New Orleans this week.
Yeah,
yeah.
And just announced Josh Gordon is not going to play.
Why?
It was last minute scratch with I think a hammy. That sucks.
And Steelers have the Chiefs.
Yes, Chiefs. He had an elbow, but he practiced Friday. The Hayden is out, I think, and DeCastro has, a broken hand, and I think he's out.
Well, Steelers are, they've won almost everything. Their home opener, they always win. So.
And I honestly, I know I could say, I'm saying this because the Steelers tied the worst team ever in the history of the National Football League, but I don't think you really know a football team until at least week four. Because you got your away games, you've played some away games, you played some good teams, you played some bad teams, you played your home games, you played some good teams, you played some bad teams. And plus week one, it's basically the Browns have been game planning for the Steelers for about 6 months now, you know what I mean? So week one, like you said, week two maybe is the hardest pick. I think you're right, both weeks are just... Right. You can throw them out the window. Look, the Patriots lost a week one last year. Look, they were in the Super Bowl, so it's like...
The Browns are much improved, though, too.
Their offense isn't. I don't know if they're all. That's where they got all their parts. And look at what Taylor did. I don't think he even threw for. Was it like 200? I don't think he
something
216
yards or something like that. But he had like 77 yards rushing. Yeah, that helps your stat line at the end. All of this football talk. There were a couple of notes. A couple in the face bag. there were a couple of comments about that. I can't see who made this comment. Someone said, "Wait, so I get Sam Farmer football talk on Mark and Linda and your artificial friends? That's what us geeks call a crossover. Like when Batman shows up in another comic."
Sam's officially been compared to Batman.
Yeah,
or a comic.
That was fun, though.
Megan Brady Wright said, "All four of you, most excellent." And Aaron Au said, "Well, at least it's not a loss, right, Josh?" Right. And then one more of football. We got a little wonky, I guess, last week. Charles Moore said, "I like the keeper talk a whole lot more than the Kaepernick talk. Had to turn that off. You have to know that no matter how measured the rational you think you are, roughly 50% of this country is going to disagree with you. In this case, it was me. Just saying. I respect that."
I know Chuck. He's a great guy.
Yeah?
Great guy.
I like that comment, and it's true. And I realize that. Here's the thing. I rarely get political, even on here, but I never could. On the radio,
right?
It was basically keep your fucking opinions to yourself and play the music, and that's kind of what he's saying there. But you know what? I'm not getting I feel like Kramer at that job where he got fired. We're going to have to let you go. Well, technically, I don't even work here. That's what makes this all the more difficult. Every now and then, this is one place where, you know, if I feel strongly about something, I'm just going to say it. And realizing that it's going to turn some people off periodically. And I think people know we don't dwell on anything long enough to keep them away too long. And if it hurts someone's feelings so badly that they have to go away, I get that. But I just think that in general, and I won't rehash it all, but I think that time is a friend to tolerance. And I think that in years to come, when we look back on this, you know, I don't think we'll maybe look at it as strongly as we do, you know, Rosa Parks not giving up her seat. But I think that people will look back on this and say, man, people got up in arms about that. And so I think that, you know, with a spotlight looking backwards, again, tolerance will win the day. But I appreciate him, you know, calling up and very civilly, as we were very mm-hmm. civilly having a conversation about it, stating what he felt.
Yeah, he loves you. So
yeah,
I know, Chuck, I will say this. I've got a Kaepernick story running.
I want to see him put a helmet Monday. On. When was the last time you saw him put a helmet on?
Who, just Kaepernick? Charles?
The Kaepernick. Hair on there?
Oh, that fro he's got
oh,
going.
Oh, it's a...
Oh, I just want to see... More than I want to see him put him on, I want to see him take it off and just hear it go, boom. I just want to see it pop right back up.
This coming from a gentleman who had an amazing...
Yes, but that yeah. his is sculpted to perfection. Mine was just a raggedy
who
was, ass.
Who was the actress?
I got... Compared Andrew? To Krusty the Crow.
Who was, what was her name who was in the Thor movies? No.
Oh. Candace Bergen.
No, you know who I'm talking about. She came in to do a My Turn.
Who?
Alexander something.
She's on a show. The girl with all the crazy tattoos on the television show. She's not in Thor. She was in... Oh, yeah, she is in Thor.
Yeah.
Something Alexander. You're right.
Yeah.
Brunette. Super good looking.
Ridiculously yeah. hot.
Yes.
I mean, and she came in. I remember two things about her specifically. She has...
I remember.
two things. One was... Okay, there were more than yeah. two. But one was her handshake. She came in and put her hand out for me to shake it, and I felt like I was shaking... the hand of a football player.
Really?
Yeah. She was just a strong, you know, firm handshake and looked you right in the eye. And then she was leaving. She goes up to Josh.
I sat like right on the corner of the building and yeah. You've been in there, right?
Yeah.
So like she walked from the reception. She had to walk around the corner over to the studio. So she passed me twice. And the first time, yeah. I was just sitting there, and I just looked up at her, and she was just looking at me, and she's like, wow, that's some great hair. And I was just like, thank you.
And then on her way out, she says,
I'm trying to find
your hair's great. Can I put my hands in it?
And Andy's down at the end of the hallway, right? And he's just sitting there. You see his jaw just drop down before. She comes over and just gives me a scalp massage. It's just like, oh. Ugh. And I'm just sitting there like,
You have to find her picture because she's ridiculous. But that was amazing.
I just. When I went out to dinner on Sunday night again with Tom Kendall and a couple of race car drivers, and they were reading that
Jamie
story.
Alexander.
Jamie Alexander.
Have awesome. You read the story about the toilet on the private jet?
No.
Okay, would you please read that?
Just read
aloud?
This?
Yeah.
Okay. Just over halfway through the flight, all the coffee in my stomach feels like it's percolating its way down into my lower intestine. I hunker down and try to focus on other things. What feels like an hour, but probably isn't more than 20 minutes, passes. We then enter what turns out to be pretty violent turbulence. With each bounce, I have to fight my body, trying not to shit my pants. 30 minutes to landing, maybe 45, I try and tell myself. Each jostle, a gamble I can't afford to lose.
We've all been there.
I signal to the flight attendant, and she heads toward me. Excuse me, where's the bathroom? Because I don't see a door. I ask while still devoting considerable energy to fighting off what starts to be... what starts to feel like someone shook a seltzer bottle and shoved it up my ass. Yes. She looks at me bemused and says, "Well, we don't have one per se," she continues. "Technically we have one, but it's really just for emergencies. Don't worry, we're landing shortly anyway." "I'm pretty sure this qualifies as an emergency," I managed to mutter through my grimace. I can see the fear in her face, and she points nervously to the back seat. The turbulence outside is... is matched only by the cyclone that is ravaging my bowels.
I'm getting sweaty just thinking about that.
She points to the back of the plane and says, "There, the toilet's there." For a brief instant, relief passes over my face. She continues, "If you pull away the leather cushion from that seat, it's under there. There's a small privacy screen that pulls up around it, but that's it."
On an air, this is on an airplane.
At this point, I was committed.
I can't think of anything worse than this. This is the worst thing I've ever heard. Because, you know, it's going to be noisy, and it's going to be smelly. And everybody's looking at you. No, I need to find out what happens.
At this point, I was committed. She had just lit the dynamite, and the mine shaft was set to blow. I turn to look where she's pointing, and I get the urge to cry.
Oh, I'm crying.
I do cry, but my face is so tightly clenched, it makes no difference. The toilet seat is occupied by the CFO. In other words, our fucking client. Our fucking female fucking client. Up to this point, nobody has observed my struggle or my exchange with the flight attendant. "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." That's all I can say as I limp toward her like Quasimodo impersonating a penguin and begin my explanation. Of course, as soon as my competitors see me talking to the CFO, they all perk up to find out what the hell I'm doing. Given my jovial nature and fun-loving attitude thus far on the roadshow, almost everybody thinks I'm joking. She, however, knows right away that I am anything but and jumps up, moving quickly to where I had been sitting. I now had to remove the seat top. No easy task when you can barely stand upright, are getting tossed around like a hood rat at a block party, and are fighting against a gastrointestinal Mount Vesuvius.
A hood rat at a block party.
I managed to peel back the leather seat top and find a rather luxurious looking commode with a nice cherry or walnut frame. It had obviously never been used, ever. Why this moment of clarity came to me, I don't know. Perhaps it was the realization that I was going to take this toilet's virginity with a fury and savagery that was an abomination to its delicate craftsmanship and quality. I imagine some poor Italian carpenter weeping over the violently soiled remains of his once beautiful creation. The lament lasted only a second as I was quickly back to concentrating on the tiny muscle that stood between me and molten hot lava. I reach down and pull the privacy screens with only seconds to spare before I erupt. It's an Alka-Seltzer bomb, nothing but air and liquid spraying out in all directions. A Jackson Pollock masterpiece. The pressure's now reversed. I feel like I'm going to have a stroke. I push so hard to end the relief, the tormented sublime relief. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. My apologies do nothing to drown out the heinous noises that seem to carry on and reverberate throughout.
Oh my god! I can imagine being on this flight.
You got it. The next part.
The heinous noises that seem to carry on and reverberate throughout the small cabin indefinitely. If that's not bad enough, I have one more major problem. The privacy screen stopped right around shoulder level. I'm sitting there, a disembodied head. And in the back of the plane on a bucking bronco for a toilet, all while looking my colleagues, competitors, and clients directly in the eyes. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain, briefly comes to mind. I literally could reach out with my left hand. And rested on the shoulder of the person adjacent to me. It was virtually impossible for him or any of the others, and by others I mean high profile business partners and clients, to avert their eyes. They squirm and try not to look. They decline to do their best to carry on and pretend as if nothing out of the ordinary was happening, that they weren't sharing a stall with somebody crapping his intestines out, releasing smelly, sweaty shame at 100 feet per second. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry is all the ashamed disembodied head can say over and over again. Not that it mattered.
What is that from?
What is that?
It's a blog. Somebody wrote it. I was like,
we got to give him credit for it, if you can find the name of the blog.
Have you ever been in that situation?
That situation?
I mean, not that exact situation, but that.
You would have heard about it by now.
Never. Where you've got like, where you, all of a sudden you're like, and you're like, I got 30 seconds. And you just start looking around. That's the worst feeling in the world. Especially when you're like on the 170 at 5:30. I mean, just fucking.
Shucks.
Okay, so the Twitter account, GS Elevator Gossip. That was via that site.
Wow. Well, that guy deserves a couple of more views.
Buy him a beer.
Sweet Jesus. That's great. That reminds
me of contact.
That reminds
me. Things heard in the Goldman Sachs elevators.
Oh, Goldman Sachs GS elevators. Did you ever read the David Sedaris book Me Talk Pretty One Day? There is, if you have the book, there's a chapter in it called Big Boy that is, I can't ruin it for you. You just have to go and read it. It's akin to that, but at another social gathering, a party where things go awry in the bathroom. It's just made me pee every time I read it. I can't get through it. I howl.
Wow.
There was one more item in the face bag, and this was Jeff Markell, who said, "Andy, your man card is being held at the counter until you know the following facts about the Rockford Files. You said tan Camaro. The car was always a Sierra Gold exterior, tan interior, Firebird Esprit with a 400 cubic inch engine. Each year, 1974 to 1978, the Firebird had to be blessed by James Garner. He vetoed the 1979 model. The California license plate was 853-OKG, and he lived at 29 Cove Road, Malibu. Enough about him. Get back to work and give us a new episode of Your Artificial Friends. Thank you, Jeff, for setting me straight on that. We were just talking about California license plates and so forth. Here, just a minute. Oh, good God.
That's Jamie Alexander.
Sure is. what was I going to say? Oh, in Lethal Weapon, didn't James Garner live in a trailer in Malibu, up from the beach?
Are you talking about the other
two? Lethal Weapon, then Riggs completely ripped off Rockford's style. He was not a cop, Rockford wasn't. He was a PI, but Riggs was a cop who lived in a trailer on the beach in Malibu, which is totally bullshit. I just realized they totally ripped off.
I've never watched Rockford Files, so I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
It wasn't in my wheelhouse. I think I missed that one. I think I was a little too young.
Maybe a little too young.
Yeah.
Well, it's on TV land.
Yeah, I don't watch reruns. I don't watch old shows. I don't really watch television.
Seriously?
I don't watch television.
Well, I don't either now. No.
Do you know what a Rockford is in a car?
No. I thought that was his name.
Rockford is backing up really fast and then whipping it around.
Oh, like that.
I used to practice Rockfords when we were 16. What better time to practice them?
Sure.
Exactly. And why now that I've got a 16-year-old, why is insurance so expensive for 16-year-olds?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. Yeah. It's always been bad for, you know, we were just talking the other day. Silas, my 8-year-old, almost 8-year-old, asked, when do I, like, maybe it was, you know, when do I finish school? How old will I be? Or something like that. And mommy said, 18. And he goes, 18? She goes, yeah, 18. He goes, what else can I do when I'm 18? And Lara's going to tell me I got this story wrong, but the basic facts that I wanted to get to were, she said, well, you can vote.
Buy porn.
You can vote. She didn't. She glossed over that. You can vote. You can do a couple of other things. I said, yeah. You can go into military service. You can go off to war.
You can go see an R-rated movie.
Yeah. Yes. You can do that as well.
You can buy cigarettes.
And she said you can sign contracts. We didn't talk about the cigarettes either. Thank you, Jack. She said you can sign contracts for yourself because you're no longer a minor. She goes, you can do just about everything except at 18 and 21, you can buy beer, and then you can rent a car at 25. Isn't it weird that renting a car is the last thing that you're, I mean, other than serving the Senate or being the president, that there's a legal age limit.
You can get drafted to fight in the Army, but you can't rent a car or drink a beer.
For 7 more years.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying.
You could go into the armed services, do a 4-year tour, get out, and have 3 years of college under your belt, and you still wouldn't be able to rent a car.
That's crazy.
It's nuts.
That is wild.
It's absolutely nuts.
Yeah. Good one.
Wow. My head still hurts from that story. Oh God, I feel like my face is hot.
Hey, you know what? I had something popped into my head the other day. I wanted to bring it up. I figured this maybe. People would get us to know. It was a question that might we would get to know each other a little bit better.
Okay.
When was the last time, if at all, you've been in a fight?
Oh boy.
Have you been in a fight before?
Yeah.
Can you talk about it? When was the last time? Was it your fault?
Not with a family member.
No, I mean a fist fight.
Any fight. My brothers and I used to fight all the time.
Yeah. When was the last time?
Last time for me. Was so stupid.
They're all stupid. Oh, really? Very rarely do you be like, "Oh, that was not a reason to have a fight."
Not just that wasn't a reason to have a fight. It was a somewhat decent reason to have a fight, I guess. If you're gonna have one, self-defense.
Yeah.
But it was a stupid situation to be in. It was about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
10, wow. Maybe, wow. Maybe, yeah, about 10 years ago.
Oh.
Lara and I, we lived in Hollywood.
Right.
And we are, we're walking home, and it's like, 2 in the morning. And there is this group of 4 or 5 gentlemen.
Inebriated.
Gentlemen in the truest sense. Probably not.
In a gossamer sense. And they were of East European origin and looked to be, obviously had not taken home lady friends that night. And so, catcalling anybody that they went across seemed to be what they were interested in doing, in which they did to my fiance. And I might have said something.
Out of character.
Which is ill-advised.
You put the dukes up,
when
ye old boxing style.
Guys, and they start coming around us and encircling us. She has pepper spray. Which she gets out and gives them all a taste of.
Did she?
Yeah.
You guys like back to back, like each other in a circle, like self-defense?
The moment she did that, I'm like, go, because we're 150 yards from our door.
Right.
Yeah.
And I said, go, and her and this neighbor friend of ours, they start going ahead, and I am, walking behind them and making sure that nobody follows. Well, they certainly do catch up with us.
Right.
And they're a little bit angry.
You just kicked the
and,
one in his nose.
And one of them comes up to me, and he's, takes a swing at me. And so I took a swing back at him and popped him in the jaw and bloodied his
nice.
Mouth. And it kind of shocked him for a second. You know, he's like, he wasn't expecting it. And that emboldened the rest of them to start coming towards me. This could have worked out two ways. The one way I tell this story is that I proceeded to get my ass beat and all my teeth knocked out. Because that's the way one end of it could have worked. And it was a stupid situation to find myself in. I thoroughly regret.
I don't think it's a stupid situation. No, you got them safe. So that
yes.
was the whole.
But what happened, luckily, was there was a group of African-American gentlemen who were walking down the other side of the sidewalk. And they see one dude being
beat by five,
ganged up on by five others, and they yell over, "Hey!" and start crossing the street. I'm like, "This is a great time to go inside," which I do, and I go inside. And
did you look at there? Was there like a big fight out front?
I didn't stop to look.
You're like, "I'm out of here."
I'm not gonna stick around to find out.
You should have sent them in and got the pepper spray. Even like getting thrown the pepper spray out.
The thing was, I didn't think much of it. I'm like, I didn't think that his punch landed or whatever. I was told how stupid it was when we got inside and so forth. We go to bed. Next morning, I wake up and I'm having a shower. I'm like, wow, my jaw's sore. Why is it? Oh yeah, that was a silly thing.
Wow.
But yeah, I thoroughly regret finding myself in that situation.
Rarely do you wake up after a fight and go, "That was great, man."
No.
That was a really good time I had right there.
Only when it's a Burt Reynolds barroom brawl do you have that feeling. What about you, Josh?
I guess it wasn't really a fight, but it was about 10 years ago, a little bit more, maybe like 13 years ago. Me and Cindy were dating, and we went with a couple friends. Do you remember the billiards place on Hollywood Boulevard, Hollywood Billiards?
Yeah.
You'd go in and you could rent a table by the hour, and it was full bar and everything. Well, we were like pre-gaming one night, and we're like, let's just go up there, get some drinks, play some pool, and then we'll go to hit the bars afterwards. So we're up there drinking and having a good time. And we went somewhere else, but I left my card there. I left my tab open. So we went out, about 1:30 in the morning, we're on our way back. And I'm like, oh shit, I left my card there, So Cindy's like, I'll just wait out in the parking lot. You just go in and close your tab. I'm like, fine. And this was back when I had the big crazy hair, And I go walking in and I'm at the bar paying. I tell the bartender what happened. She's going to ring my tab up. And this guy at the other end of the bar, there wasn't many people there, right? I don't know. He was with two other people and I was by myself, and there was like nobody between us because everybody's playing pool. And this guy must have been like 5'4", 5'5". And he just goes, "Hey, look, it's Jack Osborne," which I had heard that joke. I mean, it's just like, oh God, somebody come up with a new one. I'm just like, and I turned and I looked right at him and I said, I'm not going to say what I said, but it was pretty crass.
Something inflammatory.
Yes, it was something inflammatory.
And there's Billy Barty.
And he goes, what? And I looked at him right now and I said it really slow and really loud. And he came running across the bar and I was just standing there and he just reels back and punches me right in the jaw. And my glasses go flying off, and I reach down and I grab them by the shirt, like right in the front, right? And I don't know if I picked him up, but I just started driving him backwards. And I was like, I don't know. I went into like this Hulk rage mode, but I wasn't going to hit him because it didn't hurt me. I was just like, I could kill this little kid. So finally, like, his friends just dive in between us. And they're both like, "Please don't, please don't, just let him go, please don't, just let him go." And the bouncers come over and they're dragging him out, and I'm just like, I just want to pay my effing tab. So I go pay my tab, and the bouncer's like, "Just hang here." They're getting their car. I'm like, all right. So I'm sitting in there. I'm sitting in there waiting. I wait like 10 minutes, and I'm like, "F it, I'm leaving." I come walking out, and sure enough, right as I come walking out, the valet had pulled their car up and they're crawling in. And this little kid, this little guy is still going nuts. And he's like frothing at the mouth, trying to get out of the car. And they're trying to keep him in. And I look over and Cindy's just sitting in the car going, just looking in the mirror, shaking her head at me. And I go walking. She's like, I saw them, that guy, them drag that guy out, and I knew somehow that you were involved in what was going on. And she's like, what happened? I just explained it. And that was the last time I was in a fight. And I mean, I guess it wasn't really a fight. It was just, I just remember him hitting me and me being like, I can't hit this guy back. I just can't because I'm either going to go to jail. Somebody's going to get hurt. It didn't hurt that bad. Anyway, I mean, I'm still standing. I'm carrying him across the bar. So it didn't really hurt that bad. But I just remember just like seeing red, like a bull. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah. It was one of those things where you get so angry, you kind of get scared. Where you're just like, okay, I need to calm down. This is,
right.
Yeah, that was probably one of the wisest decisions I've ever made.
Wow.
Because
in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, and because I didn't swing back.
What about you, Sam? Any slap fights in the newsroom?
Yeah. I was trying to think. I mean, beyond the seventh grade fights or the few incidents where people sort of come around very quickly and Cooler heads prevail. I mean, I guess with my brothers, I would fight, but that just happened.
How old were you in the last fight?
Yeah. When's the last time you guys had a wrestling match or a fight?
High school. Probably high school.
And are you the youngest or middle?
Youngest.
Okay.
So you can always, my oldest brother could punch my middle brother in the face, but my middle brother couldn't punch my oldest brother in the face. There's a modicum of, a code of respect. So I could take two guys punching me in the face, and I couldn't punch them in the face. So it was weird.
I can see why you want to not do that very often then.
Yeah.
I think like the last time me and my brother got in a fight, I was probably like 15. He might have been 19. And it was like one of those, we both got each other pretty good, just kind of stopped and looked at each other and were like, I don't know if I want to do this shit anymore. You know, we're both starting to turn into men, and these punches actually hurt.
Yeah,
and, you know, we're going to go out on dates and shit. We got, like, black eyes and bloody noses. It's like, this isn't worth it. So
I I'd hate to see me in a fight. Especially now. my romanticized self, I'd be knocking people out. But, I just...
Well, that's Silas wanted to take some self-defense. And so there's a place nearby here, so we went over there, and he tried he went to a jiu-jitsu class, and he went to a karate class. And I said, he wasn't sure which one he wanted. I said, go to both, and you can make your decision after that. And, because there's different outfits for each, different, weight of gi. And
weight of gi.
I'm surprised to know that. Yeah.
There you go.
And so he decides the more expensive gi.
Of course.
Jiu-jitsu. It's like a terry cloth robe. It's fantastic. I wish I had one to wear around.
Just get one.
I wear it around like Elvis. Hanging out, making sandwiches and shit. On stage.
I like Elvis. You and this gi, like a set of a pair of Crocs.
Yeah.
Making PB&Js for everybody.
A gold medallion.
Yeah, come on over. You got to fight.
God, there's a great story about Elvis when somebody climbs up on stage. What did he say? Said something about, there's a tape of it. I played it before on the radio where somebody gets up there and he, gives him a karate chop or whatever. And the bouncers come and take it away, and he gets on the mic and he goes, he's lucky. Look, I didn't kick his goddamn ass. Just so great.
Do you remember that one? I think it was you we watched. Anyway, if you're at home, Google this. There's a, what's the one song that we used to always play in the sound that kind of plays the refrain at the end over and over again? It's the only Elvis song that we played on the sound.
Burnin' Love?
No, the other one. The one where
Suspicious Mind.
Yeah, Suspicious Mind. What's the end of that? What's the same thing that
they sing? We can go on together. We're suspicious minds.
No, but wasn't isn't there like a refrain at the end? Anyway, Google Elvis scares backup singer, and he's they're doing this thing where he's they're just vamping on something, right? And he starts singing real low. And he starts singing real low, and he's walking around, and he's got his mic, and he's standing right beside this little girl, and she's singing real low. And all of a sudden, he just goes, "Run away!" and starts singing again. She screams like into the mic. She's like, "Ah!" And he just starts laughing and keeps on singing. That's great. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, no, I was just gonna say. So we took him to you know some classes, and he, the thing about him, he's a brute. Like he is. He turns 8 this month, and he looks like a third, fourth grader. I mean, he's you know, he's a big kid. If he ever realizes his strength, he could be a brute. But he's already, you know, starting to learn how to, you know, he's hard to take down. He has, you know, got really good balance. It's interesting to see these kids sparring and them learning how to fight.
It's funny you bring this up. Just this week, like, Owen's an only child, so that's all, you know, we only get to see him being, you know, at home. And we don't get to see him interact. We don't get to see him hang out. Plus, they don't really roughhouse in school and stuff like that. Well, he just started soccer last week. And there's a couple kids on the soccer team that are just, I mean, it's just boys playing grab ass. They're tackling each other. And Owen, he's laughing. You know, but it's like, they're rough playing, right? And my wife is just like, oh. I'm like, it's all right. I'm like, Owen, you okay? And he's like, he's laughing. He's like, yeah. And then he falls down on the ground. She's just like, oh. I'm like, it's all right. I'm like, trust me, baby. I had a brother. This is what boys do. They just beat the crap out of each other. Yeah. I told him when if there's a point where you don't like it, then you say something. But, you know, you can just – because she's only had a sister. So she's never been around like that roughhousing boys. And it's just funny to see.
It's so crazy. Yesterday, there was a potluck after school, you know, welcome to the school year thing at their school. And watching these boys out there running around and playing tag, but it's more than tag. It's, you know, it's running wrestling, you know? And they're really rough on each other. And there was a girl that got involved, one of his classmates. And I'm like, oh my God, she know what she signed up for? You know, you got to be, you make sure you're, he goes, yeah, she was having fun. And so you got to let them play and have their fun. But at the same time, it's like, oh my God, you know, we never would have done, well, yeah, we would have.
I remember playing football on the cement. Yeah. In jeans. Like tackle football in a church parking lot with a Nerf football that was taped with duct tape to make it heavier and feel like more. Well, I had that ball thrown at me on was like a screenplay one time, and the guy threw it so hard. He threw it so hard, and I was like 10 feet away. And it hit me right in the nose and just made my nose start to bleed. And it bounced straight up in the air, and I still caught it.
Taste that blood in your mouth.
Exactly, with a Nerf football in a church parking lot. And we'd do it in the middle of winter when it'd be like icy out, too, and tennis shoes.
It'd be a rock.
You went to a parochial school?
No.
Oh.
Just, we have churches with parking lots. You know why? Because we'd do it Sunday night, and it was the only parking lot that had lights. And they would go off at 8:00. So that was when the lights went off, that was the end of the game. And then usually we'd go home, and by that time the late game would still be starting.
Nice, right.
Yeah, we down to a pattern.
On the East Coast, the late game starts at what, 8:30?
Yep, the first game starts at 1:00, and second game is at 4:15. Football's so much better out here, time-wise.
Oh, yeah. On the east, on the West Coast,
4:15. That's terrible because it's like right in the wheelhouse of dinner.
To kick off.
Oh, you would be drunk as hell. Yeah. like Monday night football was at 9:00. That parking lot would start filling up at noon, and you couldn't even see. And you'd be like, "Okay, 3 more hours till game time."
Yeah.
You don't like it, but if you're especially a sports writer and you're covering the Sunday night game or the Monday night game. And sometimes those games go until 12:30.
Oh, yeah, and you've got a deadline.
Yeah.
And so you're tearing up your story and rewriting it. The worst thing for a sports writer is a game that has a late game that has a lead change late or goes into overtime or something like that.
Oh, because you've kind of already had it.
It's awful because you're on deadline. And you've basically written your story as the game is going on, and you've got to tear it up and throw it out. And so the Super Bowl, you know, the Atlanta-New England Super Bowl was really tough because it – you know, kind of goes into the evening. You're bumping up against deadline to write a good story, and it's got those late changes. It goes into overtime. So for a sports writer, the greatest thing is a blowout.
Here, I got a question. Here, I got a good question for you. What's harder to write about, like a really good football game with two good teams, or a really bad football game with two bad teams?
Well, you know, in terms of covering teams, I either want to cover, if I'm a beat writer, a team that's great or a team that's awful. You don't want to cover a team in the middle.
Right, because sort of nobody really... Around.
Yeah, there are great stories that come out of awful teams.
Do you find it harder to make a terrible game interesting, or a game that everybody knows that watched that's interesting more interesting?
Well, yeah, you want to see a great game because more people are interested in it. And you always try, you don't recount the game to people. You always try to bring them something else, something they can't see. You want to take them into the locker room. You want to show them some aspect or some behind the scenes thing that went on that they're not going to be able to see with their own eyes. Right. Because now you got 50 cameras at a game that catch every angle. Everybody's got DVR. So you want to give them something that they haven't seen before. Right. So whether it's a good game or it's a bad game, you want to do that. So you'd rather have it be a good game.
What do they say when you're taking feature photography for a newspaper? They say that you should take a picture of something ordinary from an extraordinary perspective, take a picture of something extraordinary from an ordinary perspective. Yeah. In other words, if it's, you know, the Hindenburg, just taking a normal picture where you get it all in frame says the story.
Right.
But if you're taking a picture of, chalk, art festival on the sidewalk or a parking lot somewhere, you know, take the picture from up on the roof, you know,
right.
That kind of thing.
Right.
So
right.
That's kind of in a way.
Yeah,
what you
want
do.
To do that. You want to do that with a, if you've got a great story that is incredible on its face and would blow people away, you want to get out of the way and not try to overwrite that thing. So you just want to relay simplicity, lay it out for people. But, if you've got an ordinary story that you've seen a thousand, you know, that everybody knows this mundane story, if you can tell that in a different way, that's really cool. So that's the same concept. If it's a great story that would blow people away, let it tell itself.
Right.
There was, did you have something?
Did you read this? Go ahead. This was
Joe Tornello, yeah. To your artificial friends. Guy, I listened to several podcasts regularly, but yours has become my number one favorite?
Yep.
Seriously?
That's a shock.
I shouldn't have sounded so shocked.
It's like, why?
Andy and Josh, just the two of you is great. Did you hear that, Sam?
Read the next line.
But it's the best when all four of you are there. I look forward to every episode. Please, no matter what changes happen in your lives, keep doing this podcast. Well, isn't that nice?
I know.
Yeah.
Thought that was great.
That's really nice.
Thanks for the note, Joe.
I just had one last thing. Did anybody else have anything?
No.
Just have one last thing that I wanted to bring up. Did you guys want to see my jacuzzi?
What?
Yes. Yeah. Bought a genuine jacuzzi.
Are you going to put it in the shed?
No, I put it in the bathroom.
Really?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Have you used it yet?
Used it this morning.
For the first time?
Yeah.
How was it? Now, is it a jacuzzi tub?
Relieving.
So it's a jacuzzi tub, right?
No, it's a jacuzzi brand toilet.
I've seen the jacuzzi.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of that.
I always wanted a jacuzzi. It's only got one jet.
Here's, I had another message, actually. Somebody wrote me.
Is this Facebag?
No, this is my email.
Oh.
I can't find. Oh, here, Stephen Whitworth wrote me. He got a toilet light. Said, hey, Josh, I had one of these toilet lights a while ago, and they're really cool. You don't need a flashlight to get up in the middle of the night to go take a leak, and easy to clean. Takes 3 AAA batteries, and they have about 6 or 8 different colors. I would get, like, red. excuse me. Just to make sure, like,
so it looks like you eat Chipotle every day.
it's like the toilet is terrifying when you go in. You're just like, but he sent me pictures of his toilet light. So
nice.
Thanks, Steven. That's pretty awesome. Another Steven writes, hey, Josh and Andy, a couple podcasts ago at the very end, Andy mentioned getting a text from his heart from his new watch. Do you remember that?
Oh,
I do remember that.
That was a joke.
It's like a monitor, though.
Yeah,
right?
I've got a Polar brand running watch that has a heart monitor on it.
Right.
And it syncs to my phone, so when I get texts, they show up on my watch.
So then he continues, text from my heart sounds like a great title for a modern-day love song.
Text from my heart.
Since you are both musical, I'd love to hear what you come up with. So we have to work on the song Text from My... Let's not work on it now.
I got a text.
No, that's good. We're good.
From my heart. Heart, send me a message. Better. What did it have to say to me? Said you're over on your data.
All right, so if you want to get a hold of me, joshuajfligger@gmail.com, and you know what people have been sending that we're backlogged on is beer suggestions.
Oh yeah, so yeah, this is not a beer episode.
I know, we got a
notable.
Yeah. Mark this down as one of the three non-beer episodes. But keep them coming in, people. I love those beer suggestions.
Yeah. Can't blame any off-color comments on beer. Nope. Where can people get a hold of you, Sam?
At LA Times Farmer is my Twitter. And sam.farmer@latimes.com.
I like to have a different one for everything. I'm Andy_Chanley on Twitter, on Instagram, where you'll find a video of my jacuzzi.
Oh.
It's Andy Chanley, and on Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley.
How's the flush?
It's marvelous.
Is it
really
tense?
Nice. It's got the dual flush. It's very quiet. It's very, very, and it fills up like really quickly. Instead of having a ball, and there's no ball, exchange anymore if it goes bad. There's like a column right in the middle.
Yeah.
That's the fill valve.
And it's got like a cylinder that moves up.
Yeah. And then you press, the one button for the number one, for the tinkle.
Right.
And number two for.
Well, you got two, flush options?
Oh, yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
This is some hot toilet talk.
Which we had at the beginning as well.
Yeah, you're wrapping it all up. It all comes around.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships end, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Will that thing just take anything? Will it suck down anything if you press number two?
Good Lord.
Like a can of beans?
Keys.
Woo!
Oh, that was fun.
Let's go test it.